right, good morning, everybody. Appreciate y'all being here with us this morning. If you take your songbooks and open up to song number 397, we'll start the service with a song, song 397, Little as Much When God Is In It. Song number 397. Sing it out in that first verse.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little as much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go.
Sun.
Morning. Like I said earlier, glad to have you all with us. We're going to go through announcements now. If you don't have a bulletin, slip your hand up real high and one of the ushers will make sure that we can get one out to you. And if you open up your bulletin to the first page, you'll see our service times there at the top of the page. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., and then Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4 this week. We have the soul winning opportunities listed there. We're going to make one update to the soul winning. So the Monday group that normally goes at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow, because it's Labor Day, historically the Monday group will go a little bit earlier in the day. So tomorrow at 11 a.m. is the soul winning time. If you want to go out soul winning tomorrow, speak to Brother Carter to get the meetup location on that. And that's going to be meeting up at 11 a.m. And then the salvations and the baptisms for the month of September. Of course, this is all for yesterday. So we had 57 as a group. For the soul winning marathon that we had in Alabama yesterday. That was awesome. We had 23 in the morning, so before lunch, 23 salvations, and then 34 in the afternoon. So I know yesterday when I gave the final counts, for those of you that were there, I missed one, but I didn't want to make a whole nother announcement to update that. So we're updating you today. It was 57 grand total for the day in Alabama. We still had our regular Saturday soul winning group going out that was local. I didn't make it out there. They had two extra salvations. And then there was one more from, there's another family that actually lives in South Carolina that goes out soul winning. And they reported back one for yesterday. So yesterday is a grand total for the church of 60 salvations. Praise the Lord. Great event. Great turnout. Couldn't have asked for a better day. I mean, we didn't know, I was saying earlier in the week, it's going to be raining, you know, come prepared, all that. And it ended up getting sunny. It was a beautiful day. Everything worked out very well. One note, I'll ask right now if anyone had noticed there's a lost and found item. Was a lost item. Hopefully it was found by someone in church. I haven't heard anything, but Brother Jesse, they had a bag. I don't see, where is Brother Jesse? Is he around here? I think he said it was a black bag. There was like an iPad in it that was left. The last time I remember seeing it was at the pavilion. Did anybody happen to pick up a bag that was around the pavilion area or notice it sitting around? If you have any information pertaining to this said bag, just talk to Brother Jesse. He's around somewhere. He's probably, I don't know, somewhere here. I think he's got Brother Jihu with him. So just find him, talk to him if anyone knows anything about that bag. But overall, everything went really, really well there. Lots of salvations, great turnout. I think we counted about 78 people showed up to the event. So it was really cool. Looking forward for the next one already. I appreciate everyone who put in the hard work. Let's go ahead and count up. If there was any other salvations to report for the week that haven't been reported yet, just slip your hand up. Anything from earlier in the week? Yes, sir. Two for Thursday? Amen. Anything else to report for earlier in the week? All right, very good. And of course, we've got the soul winning time this afternoon that meets up right here at 1:30. So make sure you're here for that if you want to join us out soul winning locally here. And then we've got the offering totals on there at the bottom of the page for the month of August and prayer requests. Let's see if we have anything. I don't know if I have anything to update. Vincent, have you heard anything about Lorenzo? Have you had a chance to talk to him after his treatment on Wednesday? No, not yet? Okay. So Lorenzo had a chemo treatment on Wednesday. That was a significant treatment there. So we're praying that everything goes well for him. I don't have an update either on the two-year-old that has cancer. That's my neighbor's grandchild. I haven't had a chance to see him yet. So as soon as I see him, I'll get an update on that. And then, of course, just continue to pray for Steadfast Baptist Church. They've been our prayers quite a bit lately with all the trials that they've been facing. And then on the next page, so the September challenge. We do challenges as a church. For those of you who are visiting, we do challenges every month. I usually give 1 month off per year, but we already passed that month. That was July. We had a break in July from a challenge. We have challenges 11 months out of the year. this month, the challenge is to attend church 3 times a week. You say, buzzwords, that's not much of a challenge. I agree. But you know what? It still is. There's a lot of people who aren't necessarily going to church that frequently. So the challenge is to attend a church service for 3 times in the week. We have a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and a Wednesday night service. There's a lot of people that visit our church from out of town and elsewhere. So the goal is to try to find somewhere if you're not able to make it, because usually the midweek is the hardest one to make it to. There's traffic, there's work, there's all kinds of other things that usually prevent people from making it here. Try to find somewhere locally, if you can, that qualifies as a legitimate church to be able to make it and attend church service, just to put in the effort and make sure you're around God's people 3 times a week. That's the challenge. Church attendance is extremely important. That's why I'm doing this. Church attendance is very, very important for all of us. No matter where you're at in your spiritual life, church attendance is very important. Being around God's people, congregating together, not forsaking the fellowship. Obviously, I don't believe if you're not there 3 times a week, it means you're forsaking. I'm just saying it's a very important part of your life that you ought to be striving to get around God's people as much as possible. So that's a challenge for the month of September. We got the homeschool field trips listed there. I put the address in for the one on Friday, this coming Friday at 11 a.m. at the Yellow River Wildlife Sanctuary. So hopefully you're RSVPing to these if you plan on attending. The sheets are over by the mother baby room. And then the updated information there now for the one in October. The time has also changed, so you can notice that. 10 a.m. We're including lunch on that one in October. Not the one this Friday, but the one in October, we are including lunch. So all homeschool families are welcome to attend these events. Just please let us know if you plan on attending. Bible memory passage, Hebrews chapter 4, week 7 of 10. There's only 2 more verses after these 2 verses, and then you get 2 weeks to review. So plenty of time to still finish out this chapter. If you're able to quote it, word perfect, without any making any mistakes, then you will earn a prize for being able to do that. Upcoming events, I forgot to take out the soul winning event from yesterday. It's still listed there. Obviously, that's a little bit old. I am working with my schedule right now. You know, I had mentioned to a bunch of people before, I mentioned from the pulpit before, that the next soul winning event was going to be in South Carolina. That might change. That's subject to change. There's, I was just speaking to Pastor Lyles in Tifton, Georgia, and I kind of came up with a plan to do our next Georgia soul winning marathon in Tifton, and that's pretty far south of here. But that might be the next one we do, especially since we just went out of state this time instead of doing back-to-back out of state. And then I might do in January, February, the one in South Carolina. So that might be the way we go. I'm looking at my schedule. I'm trying to schedule things out for the rest of the year. If you notice, we added a couple things here. So we've got the chili cook-off on October 31st, which is a Monday this year. That starts at 6 p.m. If you want to enter a chili, try to get here a little bit earlier, if possible, 5:30, 5:45, just so we could get everything set up. We like to try to get things underway as early as possible at that event, just so that we're not here super late. It's a Monday evening, but that's our chili cook-off. And then December 3rd will be our gingerbread house activity. And we'll get a sign-up sheet for that soon, because those will probably become available at Costco. So we do, at Stronghold Baptist Church, we don't just do gingerbread houses, we do gingerbread mansions. All right, every year that Costco, because everything at Costco is bigger, right? So they don't just have gingerbread houses, they have gingerbread mansions. And that's what we build here. It's a great event. It's fun for everybody. It's not just for kids. Everyone's welcome to come. I'm just gonna need an RSVP sheet, because I need to make sure I get in, because I'm getting like loads of these. I'm checking out, so we're going and getting like 40, 50 gingerbread houses when we go to check out, and I kind of run them out of stock pretty quick. So just let me know if you plan. Obviously, I'm not running them out of stock. They've got a lot more than just 50 of those things, but they do go fast, is my point. They go fast. People take them and will buy them up pretty quick. So we're going to get a sign-up sheet for that. I know that's way out in the future, but if you have interest in this, you plan on attending, then let me know so we can make sure we have enough supplies for that. And then Christmas this year falls on a Sunday, so we're going to do something a little bit different because it's Christmas. We almost never ever do this, but we're going to change our service times for Christmas Day. thought this was a suggestion that was brought up. I thought it was a good idea to where we were going to have our normal morning service, and then we're going to do a potluck in between the church services, and we're going to move up that evening service to be right after the potluck. And then anyone that wants to do any soul winning will go after that second service. So we'll kind of squish it all together, and those that you want to come, morning service, we'll eat together as a church family, have another service, and then either, you know, if you want to go soul winning, you want to go home and spend the rest of the day with your family, you know, that's fine too. But that's going to be the plan for this Christmas. And this is unique. You know, this only happens every 7 years, roughly, where the Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. So, but that's what we're going to be doing this year. And then on the back, we've got the birthdays and anniversaries. We have a birthday today. Little Hazel. She's paying attention. Hazel, you got a birthday today. Today your birthday? How old are you? You're two, aren't you? Are you two? All right, Hazel's got a birthday today. So everybody who comes to our church that actually their birthday is on that day, not only do we sing happy birthday, but you get a free ice cream from the freezer. So Hazel gets herself an ice cream. She likes that. That got her attention. Ice cream, huh? Yeah, you perked right up when you heard that. But here's the thing. You can't tell us after the fact, like, and try to skip out on the singing and just get the free ice cream. It's a package deal. So if you're saying, oh, I don't want people singing to me, well, then you don't get the ice cream. You got to let us know when it's your birthday so that we could sing to you. And then after service, you get the ice cream. So we're going to sing a happy birthday to Hazel. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hazel. Happy birthday to you. All right. Very good. And then we've got all the rest of the birthdays and anniversaries you can see there for the month of September. That's about it for announcements. Appreciate everybody being here. Obviously, we've got a full crowd this morning, and a lot of people visiting that came to the soul winning event yesterday. So appreciate y'all being here in our church. Get a chance to meet and greet everyone that's here with us, especially people you don't recognize. Make sure you get a chance to welcome everyone who came and put in a lot of work yesterday and are here visiting with our church. It's great having you here. And one last update, I do have the keys next door. So it's open this morning. If y'all want to go over there and check it out after church service, right? It's available. You can walk through, check out the new space. We're going to be knocking down this whole wall right here, this whole area, and getting a lot more room. Obviously, it's a little cramped this morning, but we just got enough seats in here. So we're going to be going out. Most importantly, there's two more bathrooms over there as well. So we'll get those stocked up. We'll be able to start using those on a regular basis on Sundays. So, but I want to be careful how we manage that, because I don't want I don't want the kids going in there and just running around and getting into stuff yet. It's still not cleaned up. There's a lot of work to be done over there. But we will make the bathrooms available. We start getting lines here. And I'm excited about this. I'm going to be reviewing and submitting the documents probably tomorrow afternoon for the work plan. We got a few things we got to get done before we could start doing the construction, but it's exciting. So that's about it for announcements. Appreciate y'all being here this morning. And with that, we'll turn to our next song. We're going to sing song number 263. Song number 263, Verily, Verily. Song 263.
Sit down on that first verse. Oh, what a Savior that He died. From condemnation He hath made me free.
last verse, a cappella. And when it gets to that part where it says, "He that believeth, oh, the good news, shout," I want everyone to shout. All right, that's how we sing this song here. We're going to do an a cappella. Everyone, lift up your voices a little bit louder, and let's really feel this song on that last verse.
Though all unworthy, yet I will not doubt. For him that cometh, he will not cast out. He that believeth on the good news, shout, hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, message ever new. He that believeth on the Son is true.
Amen. All right. Great singing this morning. At this time, we're going to pass the offering plate around. We ask the ushers to come up. And while the plate is being passed around, if you please turn your Bibles to Psalm 85, the book of Psalms. We're going to read Psalm 85. As we do here, as our custom at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter out loud. I'm going to ask Brother Devin to come up. He's going to read for us. You can follow along silently while he reads.
Once again, that was Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this chapter. Thank you for this great church. I pray that you would bless this hour and bless Pastor Burzins as he comes. I pray that you would just give us all ears to hear this morning, and that we can apply the truths that he's going to preach from your word to our lives the best we can. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, so glad to have y'all here with us once again. Really appreciate you being here. It is such a joy and a pleasure to be part of this church and to have so many people joining us, especially today, not just our regular church members, but those of you who are visiting. It's great having you with us, so thank you for being here. Now, this morning I'm going to preach a sermon. The title comes literally from the text we just read here, Revive Us Again. Of course, it's a famous song that is named the same name, Revive Us Again. Psalm 85:6 there says, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And I want to preach a little bit about revivals and, you know, kind of a recipe for revival, what it takes to have a revival. We just had an exciting day yesterday. We had a lot of people saved. We had a large group of people, you know, come out together, people traveling from all over the place with a lot of zeal, a lot of excitement, a lot of people who love the Lord and are really interested in serving God. And these events that we have are great to hopefully edify and encourage and stir people up. You know, there's the event yesterday is multifaceted. There's a lot of reasons why we did what we did, where we chose, the location and things like that. There's a lot of people across the country, and I would say even across the world, but what I'm familiar with are people that are in this area. I'm focused on Georgia, obviously, and even just the greater southeastern area. There's a lot of people that
love the Lord and want to serve God. There's a lot of people who may not have a great church that they could attend. They don't have a church that's fired up and wanting to do all the work. Maybe they're doing some things, but they've kind of lost that first love. They're not doing the first works like they ought to be doing. And there's people out there that are hungry and that are zealous that want to serve God, but they don't have the best opportunities to do so. So one of the reasons why we chose to do this in Alabama is I know there's a lot of people there who do go sowing on a regular basis, and they didn't need us necessarily there for them to go soul winning because they're doing it already anyways. But events like the one we had yesterday are encouraging. Events like the one we had yesterday are going to help give that extra boost and give that extra zeal and give that extra energy to keep on moving forward. It's encouraging. You know, sometimes if you go out soul winning week after week after week, maybe it's only you and one other person. And on a week after week basis, you're plowing, you're doing work, but it could be almost, you know, kind of wear you down a little bit. You kind of feel like, man, I wish there was more people here. I wish we had a great church to go to, all these other things. And it could kind of wear on you. And unfortunately, sometimes people will end up just backsliding or getting out because you feel like you're just, it's too great of a task. There's too much to do. And you could end up getting, unfortunately, you know, a bad mindset like that. It's important to get around other believers. It's one of the reasons why it's important to come to church just in general anyways. Around other believers are going to encourage you, going to edify you. Events like the one we had yesterday is going to revive people and help them to get lifted up in their spirits. I know it did so for me. I love these things. I love seeing everyone show up. I love the fellowship, the actual soul winning, talking to people, preaching the gospel, all of it. The whole package is wonderful. If you've never been to an event like this, I encourage you. You know, we try to do this 3 to 4 times a year. Join us on one of these big events. Obviously, join us on our regular scheduled soul winning times. Soul winning in itself is a blessing. It's a privilege by God to be able to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people and help lead them to Christ, help change their eternal destination forever. It's the most important work that we can do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of things that need to happen. Now, unfortunately, there's been teachings on revival and just kind of an overall mindset. I don't even know if it's necessarily taught. It's just kind of used in a way where it's almost losing its meaning on what a revival is. And I guess I should just start by giving more of a definition of what do I think revival is. Because I hear a lot of people, I've been to churches, they'll say, oh, we're having a revival. And all that means is you're having a guest preacher come in. Like, now, in a sense, I could understand that. Okay, if your church is really struggling and they need a big boost and you need a big motivation, maybe that would be helpful to have somebody come in to try to stir people up to do more work and to do the good works. That I could see that. I'm not against it. So I don't want to just bash people, but it kind of turns out to be, well, we have a regularly scheduled revival, but then like nothing ever changes. No one's doing any more. Nothing ever changes. It's just, well, we just have a guest preacher come in. We're going to listen to them. We're actually going to go to church on like a Monday or a Tuesday and then listen to some preaching, but then nothing ever changes. If nothing's changing, what's going on? What's being done, right? We're trying to do extra work. We ought to be trying to do extra work. A revival is, hey, we need to stir some people up, not just to feel good, not just to feel better about ourselves, not even just to get sin out of our life, but to be able to do the work, right? And to go out and spread the word and continue to get a lot more done. Amen. Revival is, I mean, we need to see large groups. We need to make this big. If you want to see an actual revival, obviously it's going to have to start small with whatever you have, but the whole point of revival is to make it grow to be a very big event of people getting right with God. Amen. Yep. And the first and foremost way that anybody can get right with God is get their soul right with God by putting their faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a ton of people out there that aren't right with God and are damned to hell right now because they're not trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need to be reconciled to God. That is the number one getting right with God that needs to happen. And the Bible says that we are ministers of that reconciliation, that it is our job as believers. Everybody who's a born-again believer, you have a duty and you have a task in this life, that you are created unto good works, the Bible says, that God now has a job for you. It's not just enough that you're saved. I mean, obviously, if you're saved, you're saved forever. You can never lose that salvation. No matter what you do, you're going to heaven. But God didn't just save you for you to sit around and do nothing. God didn't save you for you to shut your mouth and not tell other people about that good news. Hey, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the problem with that is that part of the responsibility for all coming to repentance is on us. Because God doesn't just magically supervene in people's lives and tell them that, you know, how to be saved and just appear to everybody individually and let them know that Jesus is their Savior and give them an opportunity to be saved. He's given that job to us. That we need to go forth in Christ's stead, in Christ's place. Since Christ isn't walking around this earth anymore physically, we are. He has given us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. We go forth and preach the word, walking in the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, to preach the word of God to people in order to reconcile them back to Christ. Amen. That's revival. Okay, now this ought to be going on a regular basis, but the extra push is that extra revival we want to see of people getting saved in large numbers. We want to see people being brought to Christ, and I'll tell you what, it doesn't happen on its own. It's not going to happen from one sermon. It's not going to happen from one guest preacher. It doesn't happen from me. It's going to happen from a whole bunch of people getting together and saying, you know what, we love God, we're zealous, we want to serve the Lord, let's do this. The plan for our church is to have that zeal so we could be like Jehu in the Bible. He says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Right? He says, hey, come here. I've got a zeal to serve God. Why don't you come with me and see what we do? And we should be that good example of people who are zealous to serve God, people who care about the Lord, that want to get, you know, cleaned up. We want to clean up our act. We want to get right and serve God, not just in word, but in deed also. Not just with your tongue, not just with your mouth, but in your actions. Right. Now, there's multiple things that need to happen in order for us to actually see and actually witness a great revival. But it's going to be dependent on what we do. God is just as powerful as he ever has been. So it's not God that's limiting any type of revival. God's still willing that people would get saved. He's not like, nope, he hasn't cut us off. I don't think God's reprobated the whole nation. Okay, it may seem like that sometimes with the small view of the loud alphabet animals that try to push their agenda. You know, that may seem like everybody, but that's overblown. It's a psyop. They're trying to make you think that everybody is like that. Not everybody is like that. So we're trying to reach people before that happens anyways. But let's look at Psalm 85. We're going to go through this real quickly, and then I've got a few other points. But look at verse number 1. The Bible says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And this is talking about the whole nation. It's talking about a whole group of people, right? It's not talking about an individual. It's not talking about one person. And I think this is very applicable and could be very applicable for the United States of America as it was to the nation of Israel. We are in a state right now where God is going to be judging and pouring out wrath on this country just because of the deeds and the sins and the wickedness of this country overall, and how people are turning away from the Lord to serve other gods as the children of Israel did back then. In this psalm, he's saying, hey, look, we've experienced your wrath, but will you bring us back to life? Lord, we want to serve you, want to come back to you, we want to do what's right. Our group of people, this movement that we're a part of, is a movement of people who are trying to turn back to the old paths, who are trying to turn back to the right ways, who are trying to turn back to, hey, let's just follow the Bible for what it says. We're not going to make excuses for things. We're not going to worry and compromise with what the world's trying to push. We're going to stand firm on the word of God, and we're going to do the works. And the biggest thing that's missing between other people who, generally speaking, you know, independent fundamental Baptists that would be like-minded in the vast majority of things, in large part, not 100%, but in large part, what they're missing right now is the works. The soul winning is what's lacking. There's plenty of churches out there that may have great doctrine, that may have great teaching, they may have great activities and other things going on in their church, but the number one thing that's missing and the reason why this country is sliding so fast and descending so quickly is the lack of the laborers, the lack of the workers, the lack of the focus on reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the number one problem. And it starts with the house of God because, hey, that's our job. And my goal is to not just gather the people in our area to do this work, but I really would love to be able to reach the hearts of other churches in Georgia, in the Southeast, anywhere in the world that could say, hey, you know what? We used to do this. It hasn't been done for a long time. We need to get back to this. Maybe people could say, hey, look at their zeal for the Lord. Hey, I remember when we used to do that. Why don't we do this anymore? I don't know. It just kind of stopped. Well, let's get it back going again. Amen. And we're not out trying to make enemies with people. Look, we're going to do, the bottom line though is we're going to do what we're going to do, whether people get on board or not, because it's right. Because the Bible says that this is what we need to do. But my prayer and my goal would be that maybe there's a lot more people out there that used to be a certain way, and especially here in Georgia, man, there's a lot of churches out here. There's a lot of people who are saved in Georgia. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people out here. You know, there was a lot of workers and laborers that have been here in the past that have done a lot of great work and have laid a lot of foundational work for people to be saved and have good churches started. But a lot of those churches now have kind of, they've let the first work slide. We need to bring that back. We need to revive that again. Because it's too much work. This small church, there's too much for just this church to do. I preach at our anniversary. You know, there's like, what did I say, 10.5 million, 11 million people in the greater Atlanta area? That's a huge amount of people. And this one group right here, the size that we're at right now, you know, that's going to take a really long time to reach all those people. We need more work. We need more laborers, and we got our work cut out for us. And hey, you know what? That doesn't change our goal. We're gonna do our best to reach every single person that we can, as long as we're in existence, because that's what God has told us to do. But in order to see revival, we need more help. We need more workers. And so I appreciate so much. I've said thank you multiple times to everyone who's joined us here, because I think that there's a lot of people that have that spirit of revival, that want to join up and do the work, and that want to see a lot of people get saved and be an encouragement. I'll tell you, you know, even if you came for selfish reasons, you are encouragement and edifying to other people. Amen. Okay, even if you say, but I just love doing this. Great, so do I. But you have been a great encouragement to other people. I mean, it's an encouragement seeing this church filled. Thank you for being here. And I hope that you can do everything you can, and other people, maybe you weren't able to make it, I understand, but our lives need to be gospel-focused, gospel-oriented. And you know what? That's going to make you a little bit weird in this world. When people ask you, so what did you do over Labor Day? Did you go to the lake? Did you go to the beach? No, I went soul winning. Amen. Right? We had a labor for the Lord event. I actually worked on Labor Day. I didn't take the day off. We labored. You're weird. It's peculiar. I understand that. And you gotta be okay with just being a little bit different. But when you get sold out on fire for the Lord, hey, you're gonna, the joy that you get so much more joy. I mean, the joy that we had yesterday far exceeds laying around, getting a suntan, floating in a pool, you know, whatever that physical fleshly enjoyment that you get. And look, I'm not saying it's a sin to go on a boat or something. We need to be mindful, though. Everyone needs a break, but you know what? Focus the majority of your time on serving the Lord. Otherwise, we're not going to see that revival. It's not going to happen because it's dependent on us. We're going to have to be there. The Lord's going to put in his part, and he's there and he's ready. It is us. We are the limiting factor on something like this happening. We need to dedicate. And you know what it takes? It takes work. You know some of the songs we sang this morning? You know, work for the night is coming. Work, work, work. Keep working and then work a little bit more. You know what? Rest is coming. We're resting in Christ, and one day this type of work that we're doing is going to go away. But we have this job right now, and God has given us this job. Let's see what all is going to be required besides our efforts. What types of things specifically can we do to help ensure and to do as much as we can? You can't control what anyone else is going to do, but you can control what you do. And that goes with everything in your life. You can't single-handedly control whether or not there's going to be a revival, but you can do your part. You can be encouragement to others, and you can do what you can do. We all have our own scope of influence and the amount of people we could help. But if you're not doing that, you're hurting the cause. The more people that we could get to be encouragement and to serve God, that's how this is going to work. Now, let's keep reading here in Psalm 85. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. So the revival, we need to be listening to the Lord, going to his word, getting the instruction from God's word, and not returning again to folly. Folly's foolishness. There's a lot of foolish things that maybe you've done and spent your time with. Let's not return to those things. Let's stay on the right path. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Truth, righteousness, this is what we need in the land. This is what we desperately need in the land. A little bit of truth and a lot of righteousness, right? There's in a land full of lies and deception and wickedness, a dark and perverse world, we need truth and righteousness to shine forth. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good in our land, shall yield our increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Obviously, this is why we want revival. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read for you from Isaiah 57. One verse out of Isaiah 57, verse 15, the Bible says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So humility, contrition, basically the same thing. If you're humble, you're contrite, you're lowly, you're not proud, you're not lifted up, you are very humble. And getting a revival, whether it be personally in your own life or as a group, collectively, we need humility. Number one, in order to see God's work, in order to see a great revival, we need humility. Not being arrogant, not going forth as a know-it-all, but being humble, humbly preaching the word of God, instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will grant them repentance unto salvation. We need to be the servants of the Lord. Don't ever forget who you're serving. And don't ever think that it's your own power and your own might and I do all this great work. Look, you can't do anything without the Lord. Amen. And while we celebrate this great success that we had yesterday, none of it is possible without God's work and God's hand being there. At the end of the day, the work is of the Lord. Amen. The success is of the Lord. All of those salvations, hey, God gets the glory for all of that. Amen. Don't ever let yourself get into the point where you start glorying. Now, we celebrate because it's exciting. We talk about the numbers because it's exciting, because it should motivate us. It should stir us up. It should make you a little bit more zealous and be like, yes, we love that these people got saved, but don't start to wear that as this badge of like, well, I got this. Look, be humble. Amen. You get a lot of people say, praise the Lord for that. Praise God for that. Don't let praise the Lord and praise God just be some phrases that you just say because it sounds good, because it's something you're supposed to say. How about you just praise God for his goodness and praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in the position that you have. Praise the Lord for you being able to learn what you've learned, for giving you the tools that you need, for being able to put you in a position to speak to people and be used of the Holy Ghost to deliver that message of God to people who need to hear it. And be thankful for that position and work in humility. God is looking to revive the spirit of the humble. And I said, this can work individually in your life as well as collectively as a group. You need revival in your own heart, in your own life. Start with humility. If you have a stiff neck, if you have a bad attitude, if you're going around with a chip on your shoulder, guess what? God's not going to be wanting to work with you so much. Don't be obstinate. Don't be hard-headed. And, you know, that goes for our soul-winning efforts here, too, by the way. You know, we have leadership who's organizing and running these events. We have leadership who's going to be doing our best to make the best results that we can on our side of the work, right? We're going to be trying, you know, we're not perfect, but as we try to pair people up and group people as partners, don't be the complainer. Don't start, you know, having all these problems. Oh, well, I want to do this. And I want, look, get to work and stop having a bad attitude about soul winning. Amen. Amen. Just get on board with the program and do what's right. Amen. Have a humble spirit. Have a thankful spirit. Amen. Thank you for organizing this. Thank you for having this together. Don't be a complainer. Don't be a murmurer. Look, praise God for the opportunity that you have. Amen. Be humble. God gets all the credit. Great things are done by the power of God, right? We need God's power. If God sees you lifting yourself up, if God sees you thinking, God's not going to want to use you. He wants to show his strength. He's not interested in showing your strength. He wants to show his strength because he deserves the credit. He deserves the glory, and we're just his husbandry, as the Bible says. We're like his work animals. Seriously, that's what we are, that we're the laborers. We don't get the glory and the credit. He gets the glory and the credit. He's just like, all right, I need you to plow some fields for me. The day laborers, they don't get the glory and the credit, but you know what? They do a lot of the work. That's what we are. We're the day laborers. We're the hired servants for the Lord. We're just going to need to keep our nose down to the ground. We're going to do our work. And you know what? God can be glorified. And the more we can have that attitude, the more we can do that, the greater God's going to want to use us and get that work done. This is exactly the case in multiple situations. We're going to look at one of them. This is the story of David and Goliath. What a great victory that was wrought, we could say, at the hands of David. But was it really David's power that brought down that giant? Was it really David's strength and David's might and David's power that was able to defeat the giant that was a warrior from his youth, that was trained in all the ways of war, that all the soldiers were afraid to go up against because of his stature, because of his size, because of his strength. It wasn't David. And you know what? David didn't pretend or make anybody think that he thought it was his own power either. And this is why God was able to use him so mightily and bring that great victory. Look at verse number 26. We're going to see multiple places all the time. You know what David's doing? He's giving credit to God. He's explaining that it's not my power, it's the Lord. It's God working with me. He has a humble mind, a humble spirit. Now look, he's bold, but he's not arrogant. He's bold and saying, look, what are we doing here? What are you doing? Why aren't you fighting this guy? But it's not because he's saying, well, we're so much tougher than they are. It's because you fight for the Lord. Because God is with you. Look at verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It's not the armies of Israel. It's the armies of the living God. That's what he cares about. It's not that, oh, who does he think he is defying our nation or disrespecting our people? No, it's who does he think he is standing up against the armies of the living God? Amen. We're here for God's cause. We're here for God's reason. Who does this guy think he is trying to oppose that? Yeah. Because it's not about me. It's not about him. It's not about his own agenda. It's about being on the Lord's side and fighting the Lord's battles. And it's, what are you guys doing not fighting the battle? Oh, but it's scary. Oh, but we, you know, okay. And where are the people that aren't going out and doing the work and fighting the Lord's battle at the doorsteps, trying to lead the unsaved to Christ? You know, to many people, that's a big giant. There's a big giant of fear. I don't know what to do. I know, because I felt the same exact thing before I started going soul winning. I could understand the anxiety and the nervousness and the fear. But you know what? None of those things are of God. I understand it because I have the flesh too. I understand it because those things come of the flesh. Seeing this great big giant in the flesh is going to make you fearful. In the flesh, you're going to think, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could fight that guy. I mean, imagine some big buff guy that's like, you know, 10 feet tall comes in this church. He's like, all right, you know, who wants to challenge me? All right, we got someone willing right now. But that could be kind of fearful, right? If you see someone that's just huge or massive, I mean, they're ripped and they're going, all right, who, you know, Someone's gonna fight me. You know, you guys, you Christians, you know, you think God's real. He doesn't exist. Just comes in here and says, I'll take any of you guys right now, right? That would be scary. Now, look, our fight isn't a physical fight. But my point is that, you know, if you were to see something like that, I mean, some guy's got this big sword or a big spear. You know, it's just like, man, that guy is, I mean, I don't want anything to do with that guy, right? So we can understand the fearfulness from a fleshly perspective, but you know what? We got to get the mindset and the eyes that doesn't view things in the flesh. That says, you know what? If God be for us, who could be against us? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. David had that vision. He had the eyes that could see, I don't care how big this guy is, because God will bring the victory. God will use you. You know, if you don't think, well, I don't think I could talk that well. I don't think people will want to listen to me. Stop making it about you. You haven't been soul winning before. Let God work through you. You're the holdup from people getting saved if you're not preaching the gospel. You are the holdup. It's not God's fault. If you yield yourself to him and overcome that giant in your mind by trusting in the Lord, trusting in his word, trusting, hey, if God's saying to do this, He's not going to put you in a position that you're not able to handle. You can do it. Hey, if I could do it, you can do it. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, Pastor Burzins. Look, it wasn't easy for me to say, you know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't remember how long ago now, but it wasn't that easy ago. It wasn't. It takes time. But you know what? It gets really easy with experience. And that's another thing you can look forward to. If you haven't faced that battle yet for yourself, get in the fight. But don't think that it's your strength and your power that you need. It's God's strength. I thank God that I get reminded of that every Sunday that I preach. Because I'm usually really tired on every Sunday. But thank God for that extra strength. Because there's no way I'd be able to even stand up here and preach before a group of people without having his strength. And I'll be a testimony, you know, just take my word for it. You're going to have to. If you don't believe me, then just believe the word of God that tells you the same thing, that the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your buckler. The Lord is there. You know, he's going to provide that strength for you. I'll testify that it's true. Amen. It's true. He'll give you what you need. But look at verse number 37. So first he says, hey, who is this guy that he's going to defy the armies of the living God? David said, moreover, verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. So he tells him this story about why he should be able to go and fight the Goliath, fight the giant. He's explaining to Saul. He's like, look, there was this lion and this bear, and this lion took, tells him this crazy story of how he's able to kill this lion and kill this bear. But you know what? He's real quick to make sure he includes that it wasn't his might. He says, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So who is he trusting to win this battle? Not himself. He said, God delivered me before, and he'll deliver me again. I'm just going to put myself out there and rely on God. Now, who in their right mind, and look, there's nothing wrong with not being in the right mind in this sense. So who in the right mind is going to go against this giant that's got all this armor and all this gear and is super strong with some stones out of the brook, right? Like, I mean, you're crazy if you think that you're going to take down this soldier with some rocks and a sling. It didn't matter what he had. He had the tools that he had. He knew, I know how to use this tool. And God did the rest. Whatever tools God's equipped you with, you don't need to I need to go and I need to do this and I need to do that. So some people think they need to do all this studying and all this research and all this memorizing and all this other stuff before they could ever give the gospel. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Now, look. Doing those things can be helpful, and I encourage it, right? Doing some more Bible memory, practicing, doing other things to try to enhance and help you with your soul winning is helpful and is good, and you should do that, but that is not a reason to prevent you from starting. Everybody who's saved today should know how they got saved and why they're saved. If you're actually saved, you should at least know, well, how did you get saved, right? If anyone can't explain how you got saved, then I would say, come talk to me after service, and then we could talk about that, seriously. Because if you are saved, you should know how you got saved. And if you know how you got saved, you need to be able to explain that to other people. And the key thing is just make sure you're using God's word to support your testimony. You say, well, this is what happened with me. You know, I called on the name of the Lord. I prayed to God to save me. And I was trusting him to save me, and he did. And you know what? That's what the Bible actually says. In Acts chapter 16, you know, the Bible says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So the Bible says that this is what you have to do. And that's what I did, and that's how I got saved. I mean, as simple as that. Now, obviously, we want to be able to expand and grow and be able to ask the right questions and just make sure that the people that you're talking to are really understanding it and you can improve on being very efficient with your time and with your communication. But anybody can use John 3:16 and say, hey, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and explain, look what the Bible says right there, whosoever believeth in him, right? You trust in Christ, he says, you're not going to perish, you're not going to die, you're going to have everlasting life. That's good news. Now look, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Anybody can do that. Start with that. If that's the tool that you have, if that's the stone that you have to use, great. Use that. Get started with that. And then, you know, you could work out and get spiritually buff yourself, right? And be able to do some more heavy lifting and be able to explain more in depth when people have some other problems and things. But don't let that discourage you or put fear in you of going, oh man, I don't want to do this. Let God use you. David's attitude continues. Let's look here, verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, Amen. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He said, well, I come to you with this other training that I had. I come to you because I beat a lion and a bear. And, you know, that's not what he said. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen, amen. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Hey, God's going to kill you. God's going to smite you. He's going to deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. That's why God is going to bring me this victory, because God is going to do it. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That great victory. There was a great revival after that, wasn't there? There was discouragement. They stopped moving forward. They stopped advancing. They stopped fighting the enemies. Why? Because they had one roadblock. They had one big giant that was preventing everybody from doing any work. It took one person to have faith in God and to stand up and say, know what? God is going to bring us this victory. Amen. To defeat that giant. And then all of a sudden, everybody got revived. Everybody was ready to go. And then they rushed forward. And man, they won that battle, right? My point is, it doesn't take much. Sometimes it can only take one. It doesn't take a lot. The Lord's not bound to, you know, he doesn't save or deliver. It doesn't matter if there's many or if there's few. That work can be done. But individually, we need to decide, I'm going to be like David. I'm going to fight the Lord's battle. I'm going to be humble. We want God to get all the credit. We're going to do the things that we do in the name of the Lord. Not get lifted up in ourselves. Not think that it's our great power. No, it's God's power. We see similar examples, you know, with Joseph and Daniel when it comes to interpreting dreams. What did they both say? Oh, interpretations belong unto the Lord. And then God reveals unto them what those things mean. And you could go on and on and on with the examples. We're not going to do all that just for sake of time. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. To me, the whole book of Acts is like a book of revival. Because it's people who are fired up to go and do that great work. But even in the book of Acts, you know, there's one person ultimately that kind of shines through that whole book. Without taking away any of the work of the majority of the apostles and stuff, we kind of see this habit of just staying put in one place for the most part by many of them. But the Apostle Paul went out and he preached all over the place, and he actually was fulfilling the great commission of go ye forth therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Which they're all commanded to do. Now look, like I said, they were all doing a great work, and everyone in their spot. But But it seems to me that the Apostle Paul had that great zeal where others maybe got comfortable where they were to be able to push forward and do even more to serve God. And get in church, get soul winning, and if you get comfortable doing that and living your life that way, amen. You do a great work for the Lord. But we want to see the great revival. This is why we do some of the challenges, to push yourself so that you're not just comfortable. Getting comfortable in the Christian life, spiritually speaking, and when you get to the point of just comfort, routine, day after day, is going to lead you ultimately to the backslide. That's what happens. It happens naturally. Our sinful nature is going to take over. And when you try to hit cruise control and you try to hit just coast and say, okay, I'm happy with what I'm doing right now, it doesn't happen immediately, but little things are going to happen along the way. Well, I missed this today. That's not that big of a deal. Well, I missed that today. But that's not that big of a deal. Well, I missed. And before you know it, if you're not pushing yourself, if you're not driving to stay, you know what? We need to keep moving forward. What else can I do to keep pressing, to keep pushing? You're going to end up moving backwards. You just got to be aware of that, right? Now, you can't go 150 miles an hour just all the time redlining. You can't sustain that. I get it. So, and that's why, you know, we can't sustain it every week. We're not going on these trips every single week. We're balancing it out so that we could have, you know, sustainability in doing so. But be pushing yourself, right? I mean, I know I push myself not as much as I can, because I'm a firm believer there's always more you could do. But I try to push myself on a regular basis. And you got to try to, and we're all susceptible to this. I try to catch myself from getting too comfortable, getting in the routine. Okay, everything's going nice. You know what? The routine's nice. Get out of that comfort zone. If we want to see the revival, that it's going to require a little bit of extra work. Acts chapter 1, we're also going to need, besides the humility, and with the humility is going to come the power of the Holy Ghost. We need God's power with us. We need God's hand on us. Acts 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, being baptized with the Holy Ghost is not the same as the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. In the book of John, we already see when Jesus breathed on his disciples, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's the moment where they received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. That was a new thing after the resurrection of Christ. This is after that in the book of Acts. Now, they're kind of waiting around, waiting for further instruction, and he says, you're going to be baptized. Baptized means you're immersed. I mean, think about when we baptize people underwater. The reason why we do that is because that's what baptism means. You're being fully submersed under the water. Well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is God's just going to pour out the Holy Spirit. So he's just covering you completely with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what we need, that power of God pouring out that Holy Ghost to really go forward and do those great works. You say, hey, I want that in my life. Well, it's actually easy to get. You know, don't be like, what was his name in Acts? They wanted to think he could be bought with money. Simon, right? He was a sorcerer, and then he stopped. He got saved, okay, but then he sees that when the disciples were laying on their hands, that the Holy Ghost would come upon people. He's like, hey, I want that power, right? And he's trying to pay him money. He's like, look, that's not how the things of God work at all. You know, your money's going to die with you. And you need to get right with God. It doesn't come carnally. That power doesn't come carnally. It comes spiritually. And we need that power. Let's keep reading here. Verse 6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So what is he saying? God is going to empower you through the Holy Ghost coming upon you. And then what's going to happen? You're going to be witnesses. You're going to preach the gospel. Where are you going to preach? In Jerusalem, which is a city. In all Judea, which would be like the state. In Samaria, another, you know, a farther location. And under the uttermost part of the earth. And he said, you know what? And then just keep going. It's not just here. It's not just Atlanta. It's not just Norcross. It's not just Georgia. And it's not just the United States. It's under the uttermost parts of the world. That's what I want you doing. And you know what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll be able to do that. So how do we get the power of the Holy Ghost? Right? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Turn if you would to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, there's a lot of things that we can do to get the power of the Holy Ghost. But there's one thing that is very needful and very important and we need to be focusing on a regular basis. Now, and I could preach an entire sermon on the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, you're going to need, I would start with prayer, like asking God to help you and to give you what you need, right? Hey, ask and you shall receive. You need help with something in your life? Ask God. Humbly ask God, right? The humility, God's going to want to see to use you and give you the power. If you're humble, say, God, I don't have this power. God, I can't do this on my own. I need you, Lord. Can you please help me with this? God, I know this is right in your will. I know this is what you want me to do. Please help me and give me the tools and equip me with what I need to do that, God. I'm trying to serve you, Lord. Please help me. Start with that. How are we going to improve on that? Well, look at verse number 19 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Depart from iniquity. Get the sin out of your life. Clean up your vessel. We're vessels that is to be used of God. You want God to use your vessel? Clean up. Get the sin. Don't have this dirty vessel. Get the sin out of your life. Now look, God will use you wherever you're at. You're contrite and humble in spirit. Get started. But when God sees you trying to bear forth fruit and trying to bring forth fruit, trying to reach other people, he will work in your life and help you and prune the sinful areas to get them out to help mold you and fashion you the way he wants you. But we have to be seeking him, humbly looking to him and you know, seeing, hey, if I want God to listen to me, if I want God to help me in this area, maybe I should be listening to him when he's telling me not to do this and not to put wicked thing before my eyes and not to, you know, what you name the sin, right? Not to do these things that I know I shouldn't be doing and I'm doing anyways. Well, if I want God to listen to me, how about I listen to him? And if I want my vessel to be sanctified and really set apart and ready or meet for the master's use, let's get it ready. Let's do our part. Again, we're the ones limiting God. Let's not limit him. My last point here is just, I started off with this and I didn't go into any scripture on it, but the importance of church and the importance of church attendance. If we want to see that revival, it takes more than just one event. It is going to take consistency. It's going to take, you know, we're in it for the long haul. I mentioned being, you know, how you could be, get down or get discouraged a little bit trying to do the work. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We need to stay at it, okay? Don't faint. Do the work. Keep working. Get encouraged. Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hebrews chapter 10, great passage, talking about, again, the importance of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that so important? Why? Because we need to consider one another. We need to be thinking about one another. We need to be provoking unto love and to good works. I mean, as you would your fleshly family. Hey, you care about your physical brother, your physical sister, your mom, your dad, right? You care about those people. You want what's best for them. You're going to be probably looking out for them. Hopefully, you care about what's happening in your life. If you see them going a wrong way or something, you want to help out your family. You care about your family, right? Well, this is your church family. With even a tighter bond, because if you're born again of the Spirit, that Spirit is eternal. The fleshly tie that bonds is going to go away. But the spiritual bond never goes away. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be considering one another and provoking unto love and good works. Every believer in Christ, we ought to be having this mindset of wanting to provoke unto love and good works. But especially, you know, you need, in order to do that, you need to come together and congregate as believers. You need to assemble. And it says so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's getting more and more important. Church is critical. Why else is church critical? Well, because this is God's design for reaching the lost anyways. We want to see the great revival. We want to see a lot of people get saved. Well, we need a lot of laborers. And there's a lot of willingness, but oftentimes, if you're out there solo, if you're out there on your own, you don't have a good church, it's generally just a matter of time before the works are going to stop. And the reason why is because God's design is that the church is to be sending forth people to preach the gospel. Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You say, great, well, I could fulfill all those things. And how shall they preach except they be sent? There needs to be people being sent. That sending comes from the local church. It doesn't mean you can't do this work on your own. I'm not saying you can't. But God's design and God's plan is that you're going to be in the local church. You're going to be edified. You're going to have people provoking you unto love and good works. You have people exhorting you here. We're going to get a lot more done when we congregate together and assemble as a church and we have things organized. We're sending people out. Man, we're hitting this. We're hitting this. We're hitting this. You're going to do a lot more work than you would if you were all by yourself. How many people here in this room went soul winning before you came tonight? I'm talking about our church members here that did some soul winning at least sometimes before you joined our church. I'm talking about going back. Okay. Did anybody do more soul winning before you joined our church? You did a lot more after you joined our church, didn't you? A lot more work. Why? Because this is God's plan. It's God's design. You're coming here. You're getting edified. You're getting encouraged. You're going to see the zeal of other people, and you're going to be provoked unto love and to good works. That's how we're going to see the great revival. It's you know, these one-offs. You need to get in a good church. And look, God bless you for your zeal and desire, especially those that are really pushing forward in the absence of a church. God bless you. But make it a priority to do what you can to get in a church. Make it a priority in your life. It ought to be a priority. You need to assemble with believers. It doesn't have to be our church. It doesn't have to be the best church in the world, but get among believers. Get an assembly of believers where you could say, hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a leader here that's going to help teach and edify, and I could at least get some encouragement by being among the believers. That is important. And if you're looking for a church, try to find one that has people being sent out. Right? If we're going to get the revival, that's going to have to be there. And if that's important to you, and you're not anywhere near anything like that, decide how important is that to you. And I mean this wholeheartedly. How important is that to you? We only have one life to live here. I understand all the obligations that people may have, and everybody's situation is unique to them. Different responsibilities, different obligations that you have. But take a step back and take a look at your life and say, what are my priorities? If I have to make a sacrifice, what is most important? What is most important in my life, in my heart, in my core, in my belief? And then are my actions reflecting those priorities and those values? And hopefully they are. If they are, great, amen. Right? Well, and most importantly, I would say is, then do my priorities and values match what God's priorities and values would be for me? Okay, that's the ultimate test. Now, I don't think any of us can say that we are perfectly in line with that, right? But it could also mean though some hard decisions to be made of going, you know what, I must do this. This is something that needs to be done. I need to make a change because I think that God has more for me and would want me, you know, if need be, to move. Pick up, move. But I have a job here. I have other things here. You might just need to pick up and move. Church is that important? You want to see revival? Let's not just talk about it. Let's not just pray for it. Let's pray for it, but let's not just pray for it and just say, okay, well, that's it. Let's do something. God wants revival. But see, he's waiting on us. He's waiting on his people. We shouldn't be thinking we're waiting on him. Oh, God, are you going to send revival? Look, how about we get right? We see in Psalms, God, we're repenting. We're sorry. God, use us. We want you to revive us, but here's what we're doing. We're humble. We're looking to you. And we're here. Here am I, Lord, send me. We're here to do the work. Not just, well, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to kick up my feet. I'm going to turn church on. All right, God, where's the revival? Get up, son. Get to work. That's what he's going to say if you could hear that voice. And, you know, as we head into these last days, I'm excited. You know, there's one verse in Daniel that really excites me. Because I'm sure I'm not alone in this thought. I think we're really, really, really close to the return of Christ. Yeah. I mean, you just kind of see the way things are going just in the world. Now, I don't know how close. I don't, obviously. But I very easily could see this happening in my lifetime. And if not mine, in my children's lifetime, right, where Christ ends up coming back. I could see that happening. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, right, around the time of the Antichrist, in Daniel 11:32, Brothers and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. You know what I love about that verse? That's in Scripture. We know that's going to happen. It's already recorded and it hasn't happened yet. I want to be on the side where I'm included in the Bible right here of those that do know their God and are strong and do exploits. Your name may not be written. I mean, you might not have David, right? That's, of course, I brought up David and Goliath. But your name might not be found in the Scripture, right? And obviously, my name isn't found in the Scripture. But you can be in the scripture in a verse like that. Them that do know their God, they're strong, and they do exploits. Hey, I was one of those that did exploits. Man, well, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Yes, that was me right in there. That one verse there, that one phrase, I'm right there. Amen. Last place we're going to look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Man, if you're visiting our church, if you're new here, you might be like, this place, you're off your rocker. But I assure you that even that is found in Scripture. It is. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself. This is about, what did Jesus do? He purified us from all iniquity, from our sins, right? He purged us from our sins. He saved us from our sins. To purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know what the word peculiar means? It means strange. We're kind of a weird people. He redeemed us in order to purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, you're a zealot. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Guilty as charged. Yes, I'm a zealot. And you know what? That's what the Bible said that Jesus came to do, was to purify unto himself a people, a peculiar people, who are zealous of good works. So if you think we're a little crazy here, this is why. This is why. And hopefully we're not giving you any other reason to point to that's not lining up with this, right? You're like, no, you're crazy for other reasons. That may be true too. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 1. Last place we're going to look at. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago. Look at this. And your zeal hath provoked very many. We want to see revival. We need to be humble. We want to see the revival. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to be sanctifying ourselves and living a righteous life and getting sin out of our life. We want to see revival. We need to be getting plugged into church and getting part of the program and being part of the program where you're being sent regularly, being sent out to do the work. We need to see revival. We want to see zeal. Get excited. Not, oh man, there's a soul winning event. We're probably going to have to do this. My wife's probably going to want to go to the soul winning event. Look, get zeal. Amen. Get right with God and don't let your wife be the spiritual leader of your household. Amen. Right? Get on board. Decide your priorities. Do you want to see this? Yes, I do. Well, it doesn't happen on its own. It will never just happen on its own. If there's going to be a revival at all, it will not happen just because it happens. Well, God's sovereign and he'll just make it happen. Look, no, it won't happen without you putting in the work. None of it will happen without God, but it won't happen without you either. Stay humble. Pray that God will revive us again. Maybe we can, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong about the Antichrist coming in my lifetime. Maybe that won't happen. Maybe we can get a little bit of extra time. Maybe there will be some more time granted. How about we work as if that's the case and just work to strengthen ourselves, strengthen our children? Maybe we can see a revival. Who knows? But let's do everything we can to make that a possibility so that we aren't the ones limiting God. We want God to be glorified. We want God to be praised. And you know what? Maybe this can be like the days of King Josiah. Right? We had tons of people doing wicked things for a long time. Along comes Josiah, and instead of God pouring out his wrath and judging nations, you know what? I'm going to stay this off for a little while. You're going to have some peace in your days because I like that heart. I like that spirit. You know what? The judgment's still coming, but we're going to have a little bit of time where the judgment's prolonged. Hey, praise God. Let's see if we could do that for our children's sake. Give them a little bit more peace, a little bit of time, a little bit of God's blessing, because you have a zeal to serve God. And you have a zeal that's going to provoke others and continue the revival. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the church. I thank you for all the people you've gathered together here. God, we love you. We want to serve you. Help us in that endeavor. Lord, help us to look introspectively. Help us to identify the parts of our life that would be a hindrance to us. I pray that you would please give us the wisdom and the knowledge and all the tools that we need to be able to be extremely effective leading people to Christ. I pray that you please help us to be able to make your words easily understood. I pray that you please bless this church. Bless everyone that came to visit, dear Lord. Help them to be edified as they go back home and continue serving you in their own capacity wherever they live, dear Lord. And just help us bring the laborers, God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Revive Us Again, song number 343.
Song number 343, Revive Us Again. Sing it out on that first verse.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again.
On the last,
revive us again. Fill his heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again.
Amen. All right, we're dismissed. Thank you all so much for being with us this morning.